I'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over the couple of weeks. That will be our central text for this teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. I'm going to read it in this version, and then we will look at it in the Amplified. Let's start from verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away." Praise God. I believe as we begin to move towards the launching of our morning service, for those of us that don't know about it, the Lord has laid upon our heart that come Easter Sunday, April 8th, we begin a second service. Not that we are canceling this one, but we are launching another service for another set of people who are only able to come in the morning, so that those that can come in the evening will come to this one, and those that will come in the morning will go to that one. And as we launch this, I want us to realize that if we are going to make any impact upon this city, it's going to be by only one thing. It's love. Love is the only tool and only weapon which never fails. When you load your gun with love and fire it, it always works. Praise God. It is impossible for love to fail. So whenever you want to embark on any project and you center that project on love, you can rest and sleep well at night, because that project must succeed. And so in a couple of weeks, we are going to be looking at what love is, how to express love, areas and dimensions in which love can be used, and then we will see what God is speaking to us in those. Today being the first day, as I'm introducing this topic, I'm just going to concentrate on what love is. What love is, and what is Scripture saying about love. You know, I've been thinking in my heart that, what really is love? How can we define love? Can we say, because even if you read this scripture, it only tells you some part of what love is. It gives you a good description of it, but you still don't know exactly what it is. So it helps to even go deeper and ask yourself, what love is not? I must explain to you first of all that love is not a feeling. It's not that mushy feeling you have when you meet a cute guy or a cute girl. No, that's not love. Love is more than that. Praise God. It's not just a knowledge, knowing that I love this person. No, it's not just a knowledge. Love is more than that. It's not a rule. Love is not a rule. I cannot say, I command you to love. It won't work. Love is more than that. And so in studying the scripture, in asking those questions, how can I explain what love is? Because when you look at the scripture, it seems to go beyond that. Because I've always thought that love is something you do, but I forget that love, first of all, is something you have before you begin to do love. Praise God. You got to have it first in you, And then you can then give it to others. You remember when Peter and John, the Bible says in the book of Acts, were going one day to the temple, just like you and I, as we were going to church. Then they met somebody that needed alms. And when they got to that place, and the man was looking at them at the gate called Beautiful, and he was saying, "Are you going to give me something today as you are passing by?" Peter and John, they didn't have a lot of money in their pocket, so they told him, "Look, we don't have silver or gold, but something that we have, we give to you." And then they said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." They had something and they could give it. It's only what you have that you can give. And so the reason why you look at the world today and you discover there is no love, it's not because the word love, I believe if there's someone that can do a statistic of it, it said so many times in a day that if it were really love, this world would be a paradise. Oh, I remember those days when I was in the university and those boys would go out there and be telling girls that they love them. Oh, but they didn't love them. Because they would come back home and laugh in the room and say, "Oh, that girl, that's a stupid girl, blah, blah, blah." "Oh, that one, oh, I'm just wasting my time with her. When I'm ready, I will come to church and get one." That's what they were, I'm not kidding, that's what they were saying. "So those ones, oh, those are just girlfriends. When we are ready to have our wives, we'll come to your church and we'll get one." Say, God will not give you one of us in Jesus' name. Unless you become born again. Praise God. And so, we begin to say, so what is it that is love? If it is not what we hear on TV and we watch in Hollywood and you watch a movie, it's so touching. And they say, "Oh, the man traveled many miles, tried to fight so many people. In short, he was shot on the legs and he shot so many other people. And finally, he just went and he lay down on the floor with a flower in his hands and he brought it from his pocket and said, 'Oh, I love you. Will you marry me?'" And then, so, such a cute movie. That's not love. It's part of it, yes, we know. But that is not the essence of love. Because if it was only that, if that was love, then the whole world would have been filled with it. Because we hear a lot of, "I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you," but it's only in the mouth. It needs to go beyond that and begin to become action. Praise God. If you look at the definition of love in this book, you discover that it's more than what anybody can do. Oh, I studied it myself and I looked at it. I said, "Look, this is impossible for any human being to accomplish. This love here, it cannot be done. It is definitely not the human love. It is not. We're going to look at it together to prove that. But first of all, I want to encourage you to realize that we must have the love first before we can think of giving it. I didn't think of it like that before. I always thought that whenever I read 1 Corinthians 13, it humbled me. It made me feel that, look, maybe I don't have this love. How can I have this love? Because it's too much. The things there, they are too much. I can't imagine someone doing all these things. Then the Lord reminded me that is not what that scripture is talking about. It's not about doing. It's about having. It's about receiving. It's about having something. And then God began to explain to me that love is a presence. Love is not just a feeling or an action or an idea. It's a presence. It's something being with you. You have it. When you have love, you have it. Whether you share it is a different thing. But you can have it. Praise God. But not everyone has this love. Because it says that if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, I can only speak, I'm trying to speak French. Now, if I could speak English, French, and all languages, and I finish and exhaust all languages, then I move on to begin to speak the languages of angels. But I do not have love. I have just become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, if I come here and I speak to you in your local language, the one you know best, and even in the slangs that you have been taught, and I speak all great things to you, and I don't have this kind of love that he's talking about, I'm still shortchanged. It's still nothing. It doesn't count. It says, if you have the gift of prophecy, and you know all mysteries, everything that is in the world, you just know about it. If they ask you on any topic, if they talk about astronauts, you can say. If they talk about relativity, you can talk about it. If they talk about politics, you can say something. You know all things. And you still... And you have all knowledge. If you won't have faith enough to move mountains, and you just come here every Sunday and you just say, everyone that is sick, come, you lay hands on all of us and everyone is healed, and you don't have love, it is still nothing. You wonder, how is it possible? How is it possible for someone to be able to prophesy and to have all these mysteries and yet not have love? He says, and if I give you all my possessions, I take everything I have and I feed it to the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And so you begin to think, then there must be something that I'm missing here. Because everybody actually has natural love. There's nobody that doesn't have natural love. At least you love your parents. If you don't love your parents because they are mean to you, you will love someone. There must be someone that you love. If you don't love someone, maybe you love something. But people love. And we have natural love, but that's not the love he's talking about there. There must be something else that the Lord is trying to get our attention about. In looking at it, you begin to see that you can have every other thing in the world, and if you don't have this love that he's talking about, it doesn't pay you. It doesn't make sense to God. God is saying that you should decide in your heart that you must get something. That something is the most important thing in the world. But the moment you have it, then you can begin to think of other things. That something is what we call the love. But it's not just ordinary love. It's the love of God. Praise God. So if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's not talking about human love. It's talking about God's love. So let's read now, looking at that scripture and see what they're talking about there. Now, not with your own eyes, but with the eyes as if you are talking about God's love. He says, God's love is patient. God's love is kind and is not jealous. God's love does not brag and is not arrogant. God's love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. God's love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. In short, God's love, it is what made Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary. God's love. You know, what makes us uniquely different from every other religion is simply because we understand that our God is very much alive and well. He is always ready to contact us. And how do we know that? Because we know that God, he came to meet with us in the person of Jesus. He lived, he died, and he rose again, and he's alive. Praise God. And so, what the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will have one life, eternal life, and will not perish. Praise God. And so I began to, as I've been looking at this, I begin to realize that, see, what God is saying there is that I have love to offer you. I have my love to give to you. And if only you would accept me, you would have my love also. And once you have my love, then you can express that love. And for us that are already Christians, what he's saying to you is that don't bother to ask the Lord to give you love. You have love. Praise God. The love is already dwelling within you. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 verse 5. I want to explain a little bit more about that. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 before I take it a little step forward. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts. For as many as have received him, those that believed on him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. The moment you surrender yourself to Jesus, what happens is that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God upon your heart, and you then begin to have love. And then all our lives, what we need to do is find out how we would express that love more and more. And that's what I'll be talking about in the next couple of days or weeks, as the Lord would help us. How to express that God-given love. It is impossible for anyone to love the way God loves. Let's look at a scripture. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Let's start from verse 16. I'll read verse 16 and I'll go back to verse 14. 1 John 3, 16 says, "We know love by this." This is how we know love. "That he laid down his life for us." Who is that he? Jesus. "And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Who are those brethren? You and I. Now, how many of you are ready to lay down your lives for people? It's not a natural thing to do. You don't feel like going to lay down your lives for just people that you just see along the street. It is only the love of God that makes it possible for another human being to say, "I want to lay down my life for others." It is an abnormal love. It is selfless. It does not depend on your race or your color or your education. It doesn't matter where the person is from. The love is constant. That's why I say it's not the same love. Don't ever pray that you will love your wife just be only the way it is here in the First Corinthians. It's not that. You have to have a little more than that. The same love that we are talking about here is not the love between the husband and the wife. It's a different one. Praise God. This is the foundation of love. When you have this for your wife or for your spouse, you discover that it will be difficult for you to let go. That your marriage will be solid, but there's more. There's physical attraction that is involved. There's affection which has to be there. But what this scripture is saying is this: whether the person is a man or a woman, is black or white, is green, yellow, as long as it's a human being, you will love them. Whether they are Hitler or they are Osama bin Laden, you still love them. That's what that scripture is saying. It's difficult to comprehend. That's why I'm trying to explain it in depth. The whole essence of Christianity is for you to achieve that kind of love where you can love anyone. Even if it's the one that has been despitefully using you, abusing you physically, mentally, the Bible still asks you to what? Love them. Because this kind of love, it never fails. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't form that. It's in verse 8. Love never fails. In other words, it doesn't matter what the person has done or will do or is doing, you still love them. Now, as I'm saying that, I'm sure you are looking at it and say, "Look, this love is impossible." Yes, indeed, it's supposed to be impossible. How do you love a father that raped you when you were a child? How do you love that person? Only by the love of God. How do you love a mother that left you at the door to die? Say, after she gave birth to you, she put you at the door in the winter and walked away. And then someone found you and you grew up and then they said, "This is the woman." How do you love that person? How do you love the father that killed your mother? How do you love the armed robber that shot your mom or your dad? How? How do you love the boyfriend that has gone and told everyone about all your secrets? How do you love the boss that comes every morning and shouts on you and shouts on you and shouts on you and abuse you verbally? How? It's only by the love of God. How do you love someone like Osama bin Laden that orchestrated the Twin Tower incident in New York? How? How do you love someone that comes to your that decides that, "Look, we are going to wipe out your tribe in this nation. We will just kill every single person that is related to this tribe," and they start and they kill millions. How do you love such a person? How do you love someone like Hitler that says, "We are going to wipe out all people that are not of certain Aryan race"? How? How do you love such a person? It's only by the love of God. And let me tell you, the Lord expects us to love them. Jesus expects us to love them, and not just love them. Let me explain the way he wants you to love them. It's the scripture we have been reading before. We'll look at it again. I want us, because if you don't think about it, when they start talking about love, you know, when I was always reading the scripture, the minute they start talking about love, the only picture in my mind is that of my wife, and I begin to check, love is patient. Oh, I'm patient. Love, praise God. And I will be thinking that I'm trying. Now, I'm talking of everyone on the street. God, the scripture there is saying, love is patient with them. How can you be patient with someone that is always getting on your nerves? Every time you tell them, look, when you use the toothpaste, close the lid. Then you go to the washroom again and the lid is open. Love is what? Patient. How do you love someone that is always nagging? Why have you not done this? When will you do that? Are you going to do this every day? How do you love them? You remember God's love. It's patient. And then love is kind. Kind. What does it mean to be kind? To go the extra mile to help somebody, to give to somebody. To kind always, when it talks of kind, you are thinking about giving and helping, you know, offering something that someone has not asked you of. How are you going to be kind to someone that is mean to you? No, you are in a relationship and you are always afraid to go home because you know that it's trouble. How can you be kind to such a person? I'm sure you know it's almost impossible. But the Lord is saying that it is possible. He says, if you don't have this kind of love, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. If you don't have this kind of love that looks at the enemy and loves the enemy, you have nothing. If you cannot say like Jesus, forgive them. No, you don't know. Have you watched The Passion of Christ? If you have watched it and you've seen what Jesus went through, then you imagine someone going through that and is still saying, Lord, forgive them. That is the love that we are talking about. Just imagine you come into this room and instead of me kissing you, I just give you a dirty slap. Why? Imagine that. And then you say, Lord, forgive him. For he knows not what he's doing. I know many of us, that's not the prayer we'll pray. Instead, you pray, Lord, forgive me. Because you're about to give him back a serious one. Lord, forgive me for I don't know what I'm about to do. And then you give him two. Praise God. Huh? But the Lord is saying, you have to love them. How do you do that? It is the same love that the Lord is saying, if you don't have it, you don't have anything. If you don't have this kind of love, you don't have anything. Oh, God forbid that this happens to anyone. But imagine you go to your house and then someone has set it ablaze. It's burnt. Your house is burnt. And then he confesses and says, look, it's me. I don't know what was wrong with me. The Lord says you should love him. You should be patient. You should be kind. You should believe that he said, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, Lord believes all things. You should believe him. You should forgive him. You should pray for him. How is that possible? It's not natural love, I tell you. It cannot be natural love. I don't have that love naturally. No human being can claim to me that they have that kind of love naturally. Maybe some, I don't know, but I know I don't have it. And that is the message that Jesus came to bring, that I can give you that love. You can have that love. And I can show you how to manifest that love. And he did show us. We saw the story, we know the story, we've read it before. We've seen it in pictures. Of course, that movie is not exactly how it was. But at least it gives us an idea of what it means to be flogged. I've been flogged before. I don't know if you have been flogged before. Strokes, no? They lie you down on your ground and take a belt and whip you very well. You've not been, if you have not been, you don't know anything yet. Just pray that you don't ever get flogged because it's not palatable. I remember when we were in school that time, when I was in high school. I've been like this for long, so don't worry. I was in high school and a couple of us, we gathered together and said, look, we're going to pray every Wednesday. And then suddenly one guy says, look, in order to stop them from praying, let's move the time of work, labor. Let's move it to the time that they normally pray. So we said, well, they are the one moving their time to ours. We're not going to change our time. We're going to go and pray and won't go for labor. So the labor prefect came and caught us, told us to lie down. And they gave us many strokes on our backs and on our bumps. But we thanked God. We were happy being persecuted for God. It's not a joke. I didn't feel like saying, oh, God bless you when he finished. Oh, it didn't feel like saying God bless you. I wanted to say, Lord, let the fire from heaven come down. Don't kill him, but just burn him a little so that he will know that we indeed have the power of God. You know, it's natural. You know, remember there's a story that some people, when Jesus went with them to a place to go and preach, and when they preached and the people were just misbehaving, then John and James, they were brothers, they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we know that you already told us about power. Let's just call down fire to consume the whole city. Because of this way they are treating us. Then Jesus said, you don't know the spirit that is in you. You don't know the kind of message I've come to preach. I'm not coming to preach that when people beat you and despitefully use you, you should hate them. You should beat them. You should have wars and try to overcome them by physical means. No. He says, I've called you to overcome them by the most potent weapon. What is that? Love. Not just human love. God's love. Praise God. This kind of love is not natural. It's not. It's not the type of love that every other person has. Let's look at some of its characteristics again. It's not jealous. It does not brag. And it's not arrogant. You know, it doesn't care how much knowledge it has. No matter, you know, imagine you now, you are a doctor and someone comes that has no knowledge and starts trying to tell you what to do. You will tell him, hey, I am a doctor. I know what I'm doing. Go your way. Well, who are you even to come and talk to me like that? Love doesn't do that. Love gently tells him, don't worry, I understand what I'm doing. This love, we got to have it. Because if you don't have it, you cannot have anything else. That's what the scripture is saying. If you don't have it, you cannot have anything else. Now, let me explain this a little better. Let's look at John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 now. Let's look at verse 14 now. And see what I'm trying to say there. It says in verse 14 there, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. This is how we know that we have changed. This is how we know that we are no longer the persons we were before. Because this kind, God's kind of love has begun to manifest in our lives. The people that we could not stand before, we can now stand them. The things that we could not imagine doing before, we can now do them. I remember a man that says, look, when I was not a Christian, I used to hate those people that went from place to place trying to preach the gospel. But now that I'm a Christian, that's what I find myself doing. I want to go and tell everyone about Jesus. That's what we are talking about. Love, it constrains you. It makes you do what you would not do naturally. That's why we know that this love is not a natural kind of love. It goes beyond the natural. It goes beyond the natural. And you must have this love. How can you have this love? This love that makes up its mind that, look, as long as I live, I will not hate anyone. I will not begrudge anyone. I will always love everyone. Think of the most wicked thing the person has done. I will love him. I will love that one. No matter how wicked he is, I love him. That's what that scripture is saying. And that's what Jesus is saying. And everyone will agree that Jesus loves everyone, no matter how wicked they are. No matter what tribe or race they come from, Jesus loves them. And so if you say you are a follower of Jesus, the same. And if you say you want to have the God kind of love, that's the same kind of love that you must have. Oh, I've seen many people that are Christians, when they get into the bus, they are angry. Why didn't you come on time? They are mad at the bus driver and they just walk by, they say something. You can't hear what they are saying, but the man knows that you are mad at him. You just show your anger. God's kind of love doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. Oh, even sometimes, you know, when you are in a relationship and then you are angry with the other person, I'm going to punish that one now. In your heart, you make up that mind. I'm going to punish that one now. Because you think you know a lot, okay? I won't pick you up. You can take the bus. I will not pick you up. Love doesn't do that. Oh, some people, they come and say, you know, if not for Christ that I have in me, if not because I'm a Christian, I would have done many things to you. You remember? November 17 at 2 a.m. 1982. This is what you did. Then, again November, but this time around on the 1st of November 1990. You did it again. Now, yesterday evening, you did the same thing again. If not for Christ, I would have done so many things to you. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't take account of the wrong that has been done. It forgets, it leaves them behind and moves on. Praise God. Now, that is not a natural kind of love. It is the God's kind of love. And it is the kind of love that you must have. That is why Jesus was able to say, don't divorce your wife. Don't divorce your husband. Because he's thinking in his mind that everyone that is married within their group would have this kind of love. Now, if two people have this kind of love, and then they have on it the affection that he's talking about, are you trying to see the picture of heaven? That is what it means. Yes, that's heaven. If you love like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, your spouse loves like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then you have physical attraction towards them, that is heaven on earth. Because there will be no, there's patience. Because you indeed need patience. You really do need patience. To deal with people, you need patience. No matter who the person is, you need patience. Why? Because the person was not brought up the way you were brought up. And to you, when people say, I don't, get out, it doesn't mean get out, it's just it's a slang. And the other person doesn't know that. In some people's homes, they don't cover the toothpaste. When they were brought up, they don't. Everybody uses it and they go. It doesn't bug them. But in your own home, they even press it in a very nice way from the end to the front. And if you press in the middle, they are mad at you. So you've grown up like that. So if you marry somebody like that, you need what? A lot of patience. So, but if two people can have this kind of love, that's why the Bible was saying in the script, Paul was sharing with the people, said, look, don't be unequally yoked with somebody else. It's not because God is discriminating, but he's trying to say, look for someone that understands this kind of love. So that when both of you are practicing this, you will be enjoying heaven on earth. Because even when the person offends you, you don't count it. You've already forgiven them. Love is already there. I always tell my wife that, look, don't just worry about this. The first thing you have to realize is that, look, I love you. And so whatever I've done, it's done with love. So even if it hurts you, it was not intentional. All you need to do is let me know. Once you settle that with one another, oh, it works. Praise God. But that's not what natural love does. Natural love is extremely selfish. Even though it pretends not to be selfish, it is selfish. Natural love is selfish, very selfish. It's always thinking of his own. I've seen many people that can love their spouse and they can almost die for them. But while they are doing that, they meet another person and they can beat that one to death. That is not the love we are talking about. This love loves everyone like they love their spouse. Only that there's an affection. Praise God. There's physical attraction, which is not there for the other people. But the love is still basic. The love is, you know, some people from, one of my friends, when I first came to Canada in 2001, he came from France, and he said he totally lost trust in human beings. And he said, I don't know whether I will get married. And he has a girlfriend, but he still doesn't care whether I will get married. I said, why? He said, because when he first came, he met one beautiful French woman, and they were so much in love, and he would do anything for her. One day, not 2 days, just one day, the girl just walked in and said, I don't love you anymore. It's over. So then he began to take a list of all the things he has done. You know, I came all the way for you. I missed my classes just to come and be with you. I brought so much money to help you. I've done all these things. And you know what the girl said? I didn't ask you. He was totally devastated. Shocked beyond his imagination. Why was he devastated? Two reasons. One, because he had a trust in her that she would love him back, which is natural. But the second thing was that he was doing all those things for a purpose. Selfish purpose. That the woman will love him back. Now, this world we are talking about does not expect you to do anything back. He's doing it and enjoys what he's doing just by doing it. This took me a long time to understand. This one I'm saying to you, it took me a long time to grasp myself. Because when you have a pastoral gift, when you have a pastoral calling, you care for people a lot. Automatically, you just see yourself caring for people. And when I was growing up, I didn't know what it meant to have a pastoral gift. And I would meet people 2-3 days and I would just love them and I want to help them and do so many things for them. And then suddenly they would just change and they would just leave and I would be heartbroken. And then one day God told me, you are not doing this so that they will respond to you. You are doing it just to express my love. Just enjoy doing it. Whether they say thank you, whether they don't say thank you, whether they continue to love you and say, oh, this person helped me, it doesn't matter. Enjoy the process, enjoy the doing, and let it rest there. If they respond, then it's an addition. Praise God. That is what that love is all about. Praise God. I see that my time is almost over, but I want to just wrap it up now. So we see that the love that we're talking about here is not the natural kind of love. It goes beyond that. It's an unimaginable kind of love. It's a love that is not natural to us. It's not what we have been taught about. You know, you are encouraged to hate your enemy, to try to stop them from doing whatever they are doing, to teach them a lesson. But the Lord is saying, no, don't hate your enemy. Pray for them. Pray that they will not do what they are doing again. Of course, I'm going to go on to explain later in other messages how you will not also be vulnerable and allow yourself to be mashed all over and messed up. Yes, I'm going to explain that. But I want you to understand first of all that you got to love. Now, protecting yourself is different. You love them, but you still have to protect yourself. Sometimes when you love someone, you discipline them. You know, I personally can tell the cops to take someone and put in jail. No, because I love them. If they continue like that, they may end up being shot dead. I could report somebody if I see someone committing crime and I think, oh, this person, if he continues like this, he's going to end up being shot. I will call the cops, please, that person, take him and put him in jail. Let him go and rest there. Praise God. Sometimes love can be tough. It can be hard. It can be strong. But what we are saying is that love must continue no matter who the person is. Love doesn't look at faces. Love doesn't look at agenda. Love doesn't look at what you're going to give me back. Love is just love. And that is why I'm happy that no matter who I am, God loves me. No matter what I do, God still loves me. No matter how much you have been sinning and doing wicked things, God still loves you and he cannot love you anymore. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't love you more than he loves me, because God is what he loves. He just loves ultimately. Praise God. And he is willing to pour this love in our hearts. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. He is willing to pour this love in our hearts. How can we access this kind of love? Through Jesus. We can only know this kind of love through Jesus. Because we know from history, I've never read a single book since I've been studying theology, reading on the internet, that would say Jesus was a wicked person or a mean person. Even Da Vinci Code, that tries to mess the whole thing up, fictions all over, he still didn't say Jesus was a bad person. No religion in this world says Jesus was a bad person, because he manifested love beyond any human understanding. And what Jesus expects of us is to express the same kind of love. Now, the final scripture, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. That's where I'm going to wrap it up today, and I will continue by God's grace next week. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Here he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, this is the key. By this all men we know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Can you look at that in New Living? Yes, yes, yes. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. The love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Because it's such an abnormal love that if you actually have it and express it, everybody will know that you are connected to Jesus. Everyone will sense in you that there's something so different about you, there's something so weird about you, and there's so much power that you have, and they will know it's connected to Jesus, because it's only Jesus that talks like this. It's only Jesus that says, I'm ready to give you something. I'm ready to give you the love of God. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to go to Jesus in prayer and ask him to give you this love if you don't have it. And how do you do that? You simply go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know now that I've been a mess. I cannot claim to be a good person any longer. Because I see the standard is much higher than I thought. The standard is higher. The standard of Jesus is extremely high. No human being can meet it. No human being can meet it. I don't know any woman that says that, oh, no matter what the person does to you, you still love them. No! But the love of God is what we are talking about. It is beyond human understanding. You got to go to the Lord and say, I surrender. Give me this love. Now, if you are a Christian, if you are born again, if you know Jesus as a person, you interact with him personally, you already have this love. What you pray is, Lord, I have been wasting the power that you have given to me. Because many of us, that's what I want you to realize. We already have, it says, that's Romans 5, verse 5. Go back home, read the whole of Romans chapter 5. It's just that I don't have enough time. I could have explained it in details. But look at Romans chapter 5 and see what he's saying there. He's saying to you there that, look, I understand that it is impossible for you to love these wicked people, these mean people, these destructive people, people like Hitler, people hate him, people really don't want to even hear his name. Because he did something that nobody would think any human being can do. Somebody went into a school and shot some young girls. That is abnormal. That is not strange. But God is saying we must love that kind of person. How much more just your brother and your sister? Okay. Now, Jesus is saying, I will give you a love that can love those kind of people. Because it's a weapon. It will disarm them. It will remove the power of the wickedness from them. And it will draw them to me. That's why he's giving you this love. And he's saying, if you will only open up your heart to me, I will release this love to you. And then you can begin to express this love. That's why we're asking God to help us to grow as Christians. If we don't learn to grow, we can't express this love. I'm going to be talking about that next week. As you grow as a Christian, what you are doing is you are releasing yourself more to God. You are submitting your will to God. And allowing God to take control of your will and your life. Praise God. I want you to go to God in prayer tonight. I know God must have been speaking a word or two to you. He's saying that, I love you so much. He's saying that, look, I love you so, so much. I have committed myself to you. I will never leave you. I don't care who you are. No matter what you've done, no matter what people have done for you, I'm committed to healing you, to loving you, to protecting you, to keeping you. I have made up my mind that whatever you want in life, I will do it. Only if you let me. That's what God is saying. No matter the person that you have around you, they will definitely fail you. Every human being will fail you. If you trust in me, I will definitely fail you. People will always fail you, but there's somebody that never fails. Love never fails. God is love. God will never fail you. Would you put your trust in God? Please put your trust in God. He doesn't fail, and he is so, so, so real. He wants to be with you. Would you talk to the Lord? Simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I surrender my will to you. I understand that you are my Savior. Please take me. Help me. I will live my life for you. Inject this love into my life. let me begin to operate not with just human love, but with the God kind of love. That potent weapon that never fails. Lord, help me tonight. Would you pray that prayer just in your heart? And as you are praying that, would you put your hands on your body if you have sickness anywhere? Because the Lord has given that instruction that whenever I speak, I give an opportunity for Him to do certain miracles in the lives of the people. And week after week, many times without number, people have called and said, look, that simple prayer really made a difference in my life. And so, Father, I commit everyone into your hands, especially those that are surrendering themselves to you, or those that are coming back to you and saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your love, that God kind of love, that agape, will be spread abroad in their heart afresh in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all of us. We all need this kind of love to manifest in our lives. Oh, there are so many hearts that are buried. We need this kind of love to be able to face them and deal with them. We can never deal with them with our natural love. Never. But Lord, would you pour this love in our hearts and let us begin to deal with all those things that are eating us up, Lord? Father, I pray with everyone, Lord, here tonight that is trusting you for healing. I speak healing into their system right now in Jesus' name.